Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continue my coverage of the Snap Lens Fest 2025. Today's episode is with the third place team of the Lensathon. This was the 25-hour hackathon that Snap brought together, a total of 20 different teams of four people each. There was a games track and then also a spectacles track. So the spectacles track, they were given the remit to develop an application that was using some of the new Snap Cloud features, including the Superbase, which was doing like a database backend. And so creating like these advanced tables that you could start to read and write information from. Also like real-time live elements, so kind of multiplayer experiences, as well as using edge functions in some fashion. So being able to call out to different AI applications or other ways that you're kind of dynamically pulling in information. And so the third place prize was by Team Marshmallow. They were doing an application called Fireside Tales. And so essentially you would get into a social AR application with like two or three or four other people. There'd be a campfire that everyone would see. And so then there'd be a passing of the baton where you would squeeze a microphone and then you would say the beginning of a story. So you would share a bit of your story and then that would be transformed into a text-to-image prompt that would then distill your story into an image that would come out of the fire. And then everybody else that's also watching would hear that prompt summarized and then also see this image come out. And then at the end, it would bring together all the different images as they go through these stories. So there's a lot of ways that they were kind of using the database backend to be able to write that information and create detections for these events and to send out messages to all the different AR devices within that social AR experience. And so this was the third place prize of the Lensathon. I was a judge for all 10. And so in the episode for the winner and the decisionator in episode 1676, I'm going to be going into a little bit more detail, some other thoughts on some of the other types of applications that I saw. But yeah, Snap brought me down to Los Angeles for the week to attend the Lensathon and catch up on a lot of different lenses that were released over the past year, like over 109 lenses that were out. And I saw about 3/4 of them and be able to play through and just to get a sense of what was out there. So I could start to calibrate for all the different applications that were developed in the course of 25 hours, just get a sense of, you know, what was able to be possible. And what was really impressive over seeing all the hackathon applications was just how sophisticated some of these different experiences were and being able to pull in all this different information and data dynamically. So yeah, the Snap Cloud and the Superbase enabling all these different tools and backends to create more utility-based applications that you are able to store information, to have persistence of data and stuff that you come back to. Because a lot of the stuff that I'd seen that's launched so far were kind of these very snack-sized experiments and prototypes that, you know, there were some of them that I found myself coming back to, but most of them were just kind of an idea that I could quickly get a sense of what they were trying to do. But yeah, I think this type of backend, we're going to enable not only like innovations for what kind of like more sophisticated applications are even possible, but also starting to call in more artificial intelligence types of applications. And the other two experiences, I think, start to have a little bit more of the AI and computer vision techniques that are very unique to augmented reality. So we're going all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Sten, Pavlo, and Igor happened on Thursday, October 16th, 2025, at the Snap Developer Conference of Lensfest at Snap headquarters in Santa Monica, California. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Hi, I'm Stan Sponover. I'm an XR developer and I'm really passionate to combine like AI and XR together and see what you can build with it.
So hello, my name is Pavlo Tkachenko. I'm actually XR artist, I would call myself, currently working in Player Studio as a lead technical artist. And previously I was working as a sailor. So I changed my profession in a bit. It was very too hard pivot for me. So
my name is Igor Ripsov. I'm an AR developer and I mainly work with social AR and web AR. And yeah, I've been doing this for quite a long time and right now really like experimenting with spectacles a lot. Kind of this reason why I'm here, yeah.
Awesome. Maybe each of you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into working with XR.
So my background is mainly in backend and cloud development, but I really like the idea with XR that if you combine it with like backend data and a lot of data, you can like augment the world. And I think that's super interesting to see what you can build with all that data in the world, and it's visually, so that's also super cool to do.
Yeah, so I actually had a hobby while I was working as a 3D artist, and at some point it became my profession as a freelancer 3D artist, and I found XR space as a nice place to use 3D skills. So in the end, it's in Dubzetem here where we are at a LensFest. We are doing projects in the spectacles and pushing future to the boundaries.
Yeah, I think for me, I kind of started out as a graphic designer, because like I always like to be creative and also like with digital stuff. But eventually I got interested in just like building the things I'm designing. So for example, you do a web design, you want to build that web page. And then those skills kind of started to merge together. I started to experiment with 3D. And then it all kind of evolved in this like generalist, tech, creative coder kind of thing. And I just like really have like this broad field of interest. And it's like, I think in XR, it really allows you to just utilize all of it pretty much.
And love to get a bit more context as to your journey into working with the spectacles. If you know, if you've been able to develop existing applications, and you know, we're here at the LensFest 2025, and you were working as a team on it. But just curious to hear a little bit more around your journey into starting to work with Snap and spectacles.
So I first got to try them at AWE, and I was hooked. I really liked the device. It's small, it's easy to set up and get started. And then I entered the developer relations, and I got my spectacles, and I just started to test out things and see what you can build with it, what are the limits, and what you can do. And I really like how they are building a lot of tools for us to use with the spectacles and to see what we can build. And I have the feeling that we're both exploring, us developers and Snap or spectacles, what is possible, and that's what I really like. Yeah,
for me everything was kind of simple. After I started my social AR journey, I worked in different social AR platforms, and in the end I ended up working for a player company. There we had a spectacles as a device, and like I fall in love with it. It's pure magic in my opinion, because personally I'm more visual kind of personality who likes to create something visually pleasure. And that's how I just ordered for myself own spectacles to just do it at a free time, as a side job as well. So, yeah, that's it. It's amazing, amazing device.
Yeah, so for me, by the time I got involved with spectacles, I already had this like established AR career, but in mobile. But I always was fascinating with the wearable side of AR. And yeah, at some point, Snapchat reached out and they invited me to an event similar to this one where they given me a pair of spectacles. And that was also the first time I tried them. Also kind of the same thing, like just the feeling of magic and just like how actually good it is. Because I think like the public in general don't really even like realize how good it is right now, because like this is not available to them. But when you try it on, it's kind of get this idea that, hey, this could actually be like a really, really good thing that will transform how humans interact and just like operate. So yeah, like since then, like I had that device with me, and it would be like such a waste to not try and like build something with it. So like I've been really like experimenting a lot. I like a lot with spectacles. It's just like so convenient. You just like create something, send to the device, it's there like in 1 minute, less. You just like touch those like glowing things that do not exist, but actually they kind of exist. So yeah.
There's no platform which can offer this kind of fast building up, especially for creative people who are not developing, like hard developers. It's just like, it's literally plug and play in terms of creative process. So you just connect, do some things, push it to device, and it's super fast, super easy and simple to get in creative process.
Nice. Well, so we just finished the Lensathon, where it was a 25-hour blitz of a hackathon where you basically had the remit to use Superbase and the new features that were being announced and launched here. And so just curious to hear a bit around this deliberative process as you were getting together and forming your team and trying to figure out what the actual experience was going to be. And so, yeah, just maybe kind of give a bit of a short elevator pitch for what the Marshmallow project was and what you wanted to try to use all the different capabilities of Superbase into the context of a AR lens within spectacles glasses.
Yeah, I can tell a lot about Superbase because I did a lot of it, but maybe you guys can tell then about the project. Superbase, as a backend engineer, I really loved it. So I myself set up a lot of backends, and it's a lot of work to create all the functions and the logic and things. But now with the hackathon, Superbase was like a gift because I could quickly set up new tables, add triggers to the tables, create edge functions, call AI models in the cloud. And I think like in 24 hours what we did with Superbase, I think if I would need to do it on my own from scratch, I would need maybe a week or so to build it. So that was super nice for this hackathon to like quickly iterate and start building things and just see that it works. And that's what I like. If you're doing things and it works, that's super cool as a developer. So yeah, I really loved it.
Just to clarify, have you used Superbase before, or is this your first time using it?
First time, yeah.
Okay. So you're able to get up and running that quickly?
Yeah, because they had a really good sample. It just followed the sample in Lens Studio, the code. I was just seeing how did it work, and it worked super well. And the concepts aren't new to me, so I quickly get what you needed to do, and it just worked. So kudos to the developers of Snap. Very, very well done.
Yeah, well, so about the experience, in a nutshell, it's a multiplayer storytelling experience where you're with your friends. You don't necessarily have to be in one single space. It can be done remotely. And you're all telling one shared story. One person starts and they say something and the other person picks it up. And it's almost like similar to a sort of like an improv or an acting class kind of exercise where people try and do something to like connect to get something going. And like visually we try to make it look as like this, like you're on a campfire, it's like this nice cozy vibe, and he's like throwing ideas into a campfire quite literally. Like we had this like visual representation of like a microphone, but like a bit of like a ball of energy that you speak into, you throw it in the fire, and then the AI on the back end was generating the illustrations for your story. And then when you get to that very end of your story, it will give you this final show of like what the story looks like on a bigger surface with captions and all those illustrations. And yeah, we kind of tried to go really hard on the vibe on that, this like cozy, chill feeling all about like human connection, which I think like is really like what I think AR should be about. And yeah, that was kind of our project.
Talking about the vibe, it was a question where you tell the story most. So and like these childhood memories when it's cozy place, you're speaking with a friend somewhere nearby neighborhood next to the campfire or at summer camp, for example. Yeah. And that always brings to ideas what you have with at the campfire, marshmallows. So like let's create avatars out of marshmallows because it's just cute and cozy when next to campfire. And when you have the question to do something in 24 hours, you choose the things that like is much more faster to build, and marshmallows is the simplest thing that we can build in this perspective. So it was very good run in terms of things how we're going to optimize our workflow. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
And when I was doing the demo, it also ended up being a little bit of a collaborative storytelling where someone would sort of pick up from what someone else said. So you're able to go around and do rounds for what happens next in the story, and that when you would say something, then you would get a visual depiction of that, and then you would see other people also in this experience, because it is a connected experience, but you design it to be either co-located or remote so that people could be around this virtual campfire and sort of be around with their friends and be able to tell their story and then have like a log of that. And with the Superbase, I'm just curious if like if part of what that was able to enable was a recording of that, or like why did you need Superbase in order to do some of those different types of features?
I think the interesting type we need was real-time databases. So we enabled, so if you send a message, it got stored into a table, and then we enabled it to be real-time. So that means that it was sending out events to all the spectacles. Then all the spectacles knew that there was a message and they would read it out loud. And so we could sync it to everybody pretty easy and don't need to do the heavy lifting of syncing it to every device. Superbase did that for us. So that was super interesting. And the other thing that was interesting with Superbase is I added a trigger to the database and that triggered an edge function. And so I could easily call other models in the clouds to generate the image, for example. So that was also a good thing.
Yeah, also you can mention that it stores a story. Yep. So that means you can play the story again. You can play the story on other devices, potentially. Yeah, it's like directions to scale it, that it can be shareable, that can be replayable and fun.
So.
Nice. And so I guess as you think about this project and given your experience with Superbase and what is possible after this hackathon, I'm just curious to hear some of your thoughts for what type of things you would want to experiment or play with in the future around what this now enables of what you can now do that you couldn't do before.
I think the nice thing is that you can now store something in the cloud very easily and you can come back to it. So you can imagine a lot of applications where you, I don't know, create something, you store it, and you can see it again, or maybe other people can see it. And I think that's super interesting, yeah.
No, yeah, totally. I was super excited about this news that this is coming because I had so many ideas for lenses, but they were the lenses that you would need to come back to, or at least like something would need to be stored. And so now I'm pretty excited because like finally this is unlocked. And yeah, like, obviously, like, it's cool to create something fun to just engage once and then, like, forget about it. But now, yeah, you can pretty much build an app. You can come up with whatever backend you want. And I didn't get to touch it that much during our hack together. But from what I've heard, like, it looks like it's really solid. Especially, like, for me, I'm not that much into backend development. I can understand, like, general ideas, and I can understand how it works. But for me to, like, to set up a backend from scratch, that's very challenging. I wouldn't do that, especially if I want to, like, develop the whole application on my own. But with this, like, it's much more user-friendly. So, yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool thing.
Yeah, from what I hear from the guys, I can just imagine and like play with my imagination. But first things which pop up in my mind is kind of, it's very handy for commercial things because you can store a lot of products in one place. You can pick them up. You can play with them. Also, any kind of sandboxes, playgrounds when people can create content, share content, save content, pick it up again on the glasses. So it's an amazing tool for optimization of the projects where you just keep everything outside of spectacles and use only things which need for a user. For commercial production, it's a super handy tool. We are definitely going to look on it more deeply in our production.
Yeah, it seems like a 25 megabyte limit for sizes for lenses is like pretty constrained in terms of what you can do, but having some of these edge functions to pull down content dynamically feels like it's going to potentially open up more possibility to have more in-depth types of experiences that you could have like the logic be within that 25 megabytes, but all the assets and data being pulled more dynamically in a way that allows you to more quickly get into the experience. So it feels like it's potentially opening up the doors to have a little bit more sophisticated or complicated experiences, whereas the existing platforms seem to be really quite constrained. After having a chance to go through about 3/4 of all the different lenses that have launched so far over the past couple of days, it seemed like there was very short bite-sized experiences, but having the capability to have much more in-depth experiences as well. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like the web. No, if you go to a website, it also loads the code that's very small, and then it's loading the assets asynchronously. And that's basically what's also happening now in the specs at Superbase. So you open the application, it's very small, it's very fast, and then it's like asynchronously loading all the assets, and you can optimize it like that. So I think that's an interesting thing. Yeah.
So yeah, really pulling on the fast loading of the website. So pulling in a lot of those same things that are bringing that same type of design architecture to XR.
Yeah, indeed. Yes.
I mean, like, it just feels like a point where it's kind of getting really serious. Like, it's no longer this thing where you just create this, like, little experience and, again, like, people try it, done with it. Yeah, this enables, like, proper apps. You can scale it. You can build a business on top of it. Obviously, like, this has been done for the public launch of specs next year. So, yeah, really great to see this kind of developments. Yeah.
Maybe one thing I want to add, and what we also discussed about, it opens like cross-platform apps also. So you could build something on the specs. You have like the Superbase instant as your backend, and then maybe you could open your mobile phone, go to a website, and see maybe the story that we told in the Marshmallow app. I think that's interesting that you can build cross-device that makes it much more dynamic and cool.
And that is called metaverse. like the proper actual metaverse, not the kind of thing that people were talking about all these years, actual metaverse. So that's great.
And makes spectacles more shareable for sure, because right now it feels kind of limited in terms of what you can share. Right now you can only share preview videos, that's it. And only share device. So
Yeah, you'd mentioned that you're really excited around this intersection of AI and AR, and so just curious to hear a little bit more around the pipeline that you had to create to call these edge functions and basically do image generation, and just curious to hear a little bit around like how you were able to wire those different requests and what the edge functions of Superbase were able to enable for you.
Yeah, so what I basically did in the edge function was, the message came in and then it was calling like a cloud model based on Replicate. So Replicate is a service that makes it easier for developers to call AI models. So they built an API around AI models. So basically what the edge function was doing was getting the message, calling Replicate, Replicate instantiated the AI model, it gave back the result, then the result was stored in a bucket, then it was saved in the database, and then with the real-time database, it was like distributed to all the spectacles. So it's quite easy, and that's what I like, yeah, that you can iterate very fast and build something super cool with all these products, tying it together and have a really cool experience.
Yeah, as a judge, looking at all the different projects at the 10 different groups did, I was impressed with how sophisticated some of the different types of things that people were able to do in just 24 hours. And so feels like we're moving beyond what you could used to do with like game engines, but you know, kind of moving into all these other types of like more web app based functionalities and have it all kind of seamlessly wired together to be able to add more and more complicated experiences that have a little bit more depth and sophistication above and beyond what we've seen around the gaming. So I was surprised to see there wasn't as many games, and it was more around like these kind of like short utility functions of like, here, let's try to see how we can start to wire things up. So even within the course of 24 hours, just to see the wide breadth of different types of projects that were able to be created, but also like just this glimpse into the future of where the sophistication of all these things kind of coming together might be headed. So just to hear any reflections on that.
Well, I mean, I think the reason people build a lot of those utility tools is kind of maybe like for me, I feel it's the messaging of Synapse. I think at some point I got this idea that they wanted to see a lot of utility tools. But I think like, at least like for us, we kind of like, well, we've picked our set, like we formed this team because we kind of agreed that we kind of vibe together. There's like something here that we can work off. And I guess like we all kind of are into this like more artistic kind of like experiential things. And we thought, like, let's just do that. Like, we're really good at it. We like it. Let's just build that. And again, like, you still can utilize all those advanced capabilities around Superbase and stuff like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be, like, utility-based something. It could be a game just like this artistic experience, but you can still make it, like, as complicated as you want, as involved as you want. So, yeah, that's kind of it for me, yeah.
And so you also were a winner of one of the awards this year. Maybe you could give a bit more context for Trajectory.
Yeah, so Trajectory is a game for spectacles. I kind of at some point decided that I need to finally like build something for spectacles after I got them. And I thought like, well, I'll just build something real quickly, something fun over like a few weeks and I'll be done. Well, it took a couple of months in the end because what I decided to do is a game about like throwing things and maybe like you throw at a target and that's it. But I thought like, why are you throwing things? Like, what's the point? Like, I don't just want to be throwing things. I thought like, well, maybe there's a reason. Maybe an evil AI has stolen all the objects because like it ran out of training data and it wants to like consume reality to train itself on. And I decided that, well, the player will be a part of this rebel collective that is trying to liberate objects from the clutches of AI. And that's how the game was born, and it kind of evolved into this 8-level, like a proper story arc, lots of different like gameplay mechanics, and they change. I include like a lot of dialogue, so you have this like sidekick of sorts that communicates with you through this intercom. And in the end, there's like this grand finale, and there's always like, obviously there's always a twist, so I mean, I'm not going to spoil it, but I can. Well, basically, you've been helping the AI all this time. You've actually been, like, sending the objects, the fake objects, back into the real world. And now, like, you've made the situation much, much worse. But it was a really great experience just, like, creating this game. Because, like, for the longest time, I've stopped creating personal projects. Because, like, I had so much work. And it's just, like, at some point, you kind of stop being like as creative as it used to be in the first place. But here, like, it really helped me to just like feel like I'm a creator. I'm like creating something really meaningful and just to me, like personally, it was like very transformative to like create this, because yeah, it was hard, but like I've learned a few things about myself, like, and it's real fun, and obviously like to get the recognition is just amazing. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, and also congratulations for the whole team for the win. And so I guess as we start to wrap up, I'd love to hear if you have any thoughts around where you think the ultimate potential of all these immersive technologies coming together with XR, AR glasses, AI all being fused together, and what that might be able to enable.
Let me think. I would love to wear them all day, and that's what I envision that will happen soon. I don't know. Let's see in 2026. But I would love to wear a pair and just walk around and do things. And maybe there's an AI that helps you in the world and make it spatial and do things. So that's what I'm hoping for. And I hope it will be with the spectacles because I really like the device. And yeah, fingers crossed, yeah.
Yeah, me personally, I'm looking in kind of direction of digital wellness, where AR device can be placed where you can not only work but also rest. Because I can expect that like a lot of notifications will come from your watches, from your phone, just on a device which you are wearing every day, and like you will be messed with a lot of notifications, and yeah, it's kind of making you tired, so you should have space for rest, and this pure magic can help you to rest, to find your places. Yeah, that's it.
I actually really like what Stein said, because like I personally do not want to be wearing those things all the time. But I kind of like imagine the future will be like, it will be just like your phone. You can use it all the time. You can just like take it out, like put it back in your pocket. So with glasses, you can like do something, like turn them off, put them in your pocket or something like that. So like, I think a lot of people kind of, they're afraid of this like Black Mirror kind of dystopian future of like us wearing these cameras and like kind of changing reality and like no longer understanding what's true or not, like what's real or augmented imaginary. But I think like as we figure this medium out and like start playing with it like on a consumer scale, we'll finally like understand that it's actually like not as like black and white. There's like many ways to use this technology, and like I'm really excited like how like actual like people out there will adopt it and how people will change it, because like it will be communities around the world finding new ways to utilize this technology, and like we don't know what that will be, and that is exciting. We're just like three developers at the very like early stages of it. We don't know what it's gonna be, but yeah, looking forward to it.
I mean, we are looking very positive, we are very enthusiastic, because we like to develop on it, we are enjoying the process itself, but you never know how people will take it, how people will use it. It's really interesting how it will evolve over time.
I think there's like a lot of responsibility on Snap, on all these companies creating this technology, and on us, on like shaping what that will be. And it's not like a trivial matter. Like these technologies are shaping the world, shaping how people interact. Like phones, they've like transformed how we like exist on a daily basis. So this is even like next level. It's literally like changing your reality, like the ways you see like visually. And it's like in 3D around you, not on like a flat screen. So yeah, it's like it's exciting, but also like I think there's like a bit of a burden of responsibility that we're not like quite yet realizing that we have, but I think we ultimately do have that.
And is there anything else that's left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community? Any final thoughts you'd like to share?
I would think if you're a developer, get the spectacles and start creating with it. Because then you will see the true magic that you can do with it. And I think we as developers should explore what the limits are, and then we can see as a society what we can do about the limits and maybe the privacy and things. But let us first developers try things out and see what we can come up with and develop with it. And I think that's what I would say to the XR community. Start experimenting with it and see what you can do with it. And that's super fun.
Yeah, I would join Snap comments and would say just let's do magic together, build with Snap, build with spectacles. That's it.
Such a powerful message, yeah. I mean, yeah, just like start building things. It does make a difference like between just like seeing someone demo it on a screen like those captures and actually having the device like on your face and just being in the moment and like touching those like things that do not exist, but just like this like light in front of you. And it's also like you do not realize what you would like to build with it until you try and play with it. And again, like, it's a very different medium. So like, whatever you have with like VR or mobile, like the rules are not the same. Like, you will find yourself arriving at very different results with this kind of medium, because like, it's different.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast to break down a little bit more about your design process for this marshmallow campfire experience. And congratulations again for winning the third place prize here at the hackathon. And yeah, looking forward to seeing where each of you take this platform here in the future. And just thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help break it all down.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a supportive podcast, and so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring this coverage. So you can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.